So good to be back. I was saying in the council room, we've got history together. I've been coming here and speaking. Someone reminded me in the lobby this morning about a discipleship training seminar, and I thought, oh, yay, that's 40 years ago. 40 years ago, I spoke here in a discipleship training seminar. I was in my 20s, and you guys often remember me. Multiple people have said something to me this morning. What prop did you bring today? Because you remember me for that. And the person who met me in the lobby remembered a prop I had 40 years ago. That's why I bring props quite often, because it helps you to remember things. But not every sermon lends itself to that. So today I don't have any physical props with me. We're going to have some things up on the screen to help us understand it. And my real goal in preaching is to not just to preach, but to do what often it describes Jesus did in the New Testament, and that is, it would say he came to a town teaching and preaching. And so I think there's often people who preach that just jump right into the preaching without doing the teaching first, and if we don't understand a passage well, then it's hard to really apply it to our life. So that's my goal, is to help us to understand context, to remember what the Lord is saying, sometimes through props, sometimes through pictures, but to teach it so that then I can preach it and apply it to your life so that you can walk out of here blessed and being able to go into your week with a new perspective on life. So now, there's the other thing I often like to do, and last time I was here too, is to take a passage that maybe is super familiar, so much so that we kind of tune it out and go back to it and bring some new life to it, and so that we kind of appreciate it more again. So last time I was here, I took an old Sunday school story and we dug into it as adults, and oh wow, all of a sudden we had a new understanding of some story that we thought we knew all about. So today, the Lord's been kind of prompting me this summer to dig into the priestly blessing. So if you want to turn to Numbers chapter 6, we're going to look at 24 to 26, just a couple verses. Numbers chapter 6. Now you've heard this a million times probably. Maybe that's an exaggeration. Thousands of times I think would be accurate. The passage is often used by pastors as a benediction. It was something that was given by God for Aaron to say to the people of Israel that long ago. And it's the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So you've all heard that before, I'm sure. But I think we tune it out. We just say, okay, I know that. He's given a blessing, that's good. And we're already starting to think about what we have to do later on when we leave here. And we don't really understand the depth of what God was giving to us there. It's very unique because there's not often that God gives exact words. He often would, in Scripture, inspired the people who wrote the Scripture to write certain things, and they could add their own flair, their own personality to things as they wrote, under this inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But there are certain times where God gives the exact words, and this is one of those times. So the difficulty for us is that in Hebrew, the words are different, of course, than in English. Our translators try to translate them into something that we can understand. Sometimes things get lost a little bit. The Hebrew language is very concrete, all right? So words like gracious or blessing, things that talk about our feelings and emotions don't translate very well from Hebrew to English because they're not concrete, right? They're more something that's in our head. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. And it's not something that's physical and tangible and touchable. So some illustrations of things that I've learned over the years are just amazing to me. But I've learned them a lot through a friend of mine, actually. We've become friends over the years. His name is Jeff Benner. He's got a website. You might want to look this up sometime. It's called Ancient Hebrew Research Center. If you just Google Ancient Hebrew Research Center, it's like 2,000-page website packed with information. He's written multiple books. I've helped him edit a few of them over the years. I guess we connect because I'm bivocational. I'm an engineer and a pastor, and he is a nuclear engineer designing nuclear power plants and also does ministry work, just not as a pastor in a church, but in a unique way. He got interested in the Hebrew language years ago and realized that the first five books of the Bible were written in an ancient Hebrew font that's really more like a pictograph like we would see written on the walls and tombs in Egypt, and that each letter was actually a picture. And so as he dug into that and tried to explore that and understand that more and more, it gave a richness to the Hebrew language, and he's been used as a consultant for National Geographic and all kinds of organizations over the years. And we become friends, we email each other periodically, and he has given me some really good understanding into some of the old Hebrew. Some of the things that I just love is the word for mother. The letters there, the pictograph, is an image of an ox, which is the strongest animal in the herd, and then waves like water. So the word mother means strong water. Strong water, because strong water is glue. She's the glue that holds the family together. And I thought, wow, that just gives such a great understanding to motherhood that the Hebrew language has that's really hard to translate to English. So there's things like that that we're going to look at today. We're going to look at this, if you keep that passage open, just to try to understand this blessing a little bit better and how we can appreciate what God is giving to us in this blessing. So the Lord bless you. The word bless there is an interesting word. And you see up on the screen here, I have a father kneeling in front of the child. And that's because the word there for bless involves kneeling in front of someone in adoration. Now, it's kind of a hard thing for us to understand because we think that would be odd in our minds that God would kneel in front of us, because you kneel kind of to worship or to show reverence to someone, and we should kneel to God, not God kneel to us. But the reason I chose this picture that's behind me is that the neat concept would be that a father kneels in front of his daughter, kneels by his son to bring himself down to their level, and then he gives them this really great gift, a gift of great value. And that's the image here, is that God the Father is coming down to our level, kneeling in front of us, connecting with us to give us a blessing of great value. So the Lord bless you and keep you. Now, keep you is kind of an interesting word here. I've got some thorns behind me. And if you look at the next slide, the thorns are part of something that was done by shepherds during this time when they would have the sheep and bring them from area to area at night in order to protect them from wild animals. They would grab thorn bushes and brush that was around the area and put it in a big circle to make a pen, like a fence. But the thorns were very prickly. It's almost like having a barbed wire fence. And then they had just one way in, and all the sheep could come in there at night, be protected from the wild animals. And then the shepherd would actually sleep in the doorway, that little gate opening in the wall, in order to be the final protection for the sheep. So the idea of keeping is this idea that we have this protection, this good shepherd, this comfort that we can relax in God because he's keeping us. He's got us surrounded and protected from all the dangers around us. Now, next we come to this word, the Lord make his face. His face is actually plural in Hebrew, so it's really faces. So now if you look at this picture I have behind, it's just an actor with a whole bunch of different faces expressing all different emotions. But that's really kind of our face is kind of a window into our soul, right? I mean, you can sense sometimes when you walk up to a person, hey, they're having a rough day. Maybe you can see that they're really sad, or they're really joyful, or really excited, or really happy. And it tells us a lot about the whole person. And that's the idea here, is that the faces, this plural thing, is about the whole being of God. this fullness of all the aspects of his personality. His faces expresses that to us. So, and then the next phrase there is, he makes his face to shine upon you. And you might just think, well, okay, he's looking at us. When you think of the word shine upon you, it's kind of, we wouldn't talk that way almost in our current, you know, our normal language. We don't say, well, I'm shining upon you when you're looking at someone. But that's because there's a difference here. There's a bigger depth here. The word shine is more about bringing illumination into darkness, so revealing things that are secret, revealing dangers that are out there, illuminating something so that there is an understanding of what we're up against and what we're dealing with. And that's kind of this word shine that's being used here. Now, the next word is a little more difficult, to be gracious to you. So gracious, you see, if you back up one slide there we go, gracious. Now, I have a picture of a nomad, group of nomad tents in a circle. They're making a camp there. And you think, well, how in the world do you get from gracious to a camp? You see, camp, a camp for a nomad is a place of protection. The tents are in a circle. All your friends are there. There's people and who can help protect you and keep you safe. And there's this sense of being provided for. It's refuge. It's strength. It's being lifted up, healed. Maybe if you're hurt, you go there to be healed because you can rest there. You can go there for help because it's your camp. It's your people. It's where you fit in, and it's where you're watched over. So that's the word gracious. And then we come to the Lord wants to give you peace. So I actually, for the word give, I use the word grant here. Grant is this idea of having everything fixed and arranged and in place. So everything is all set up. It's not just haphazard. It's not just this thing that's thrown out to us, but it's organized and structured and it's thought through. And so that this is what God is doing is he's carefully planning out and making something specific for us that's going to fit our needs and help us in all that we have to deal with. Now, the word peace is the word shalom, and it's one that we hear a lot when you hear people talk about Hebrews, the Hebrew language. But just to help us understand that a little bit more, I have this picture here. This is from the London Marathon about 2 years ago. Haley Carruthers ran the marathon, and she got about 5 foot from the finish line, and her legs just gave out, and she collapsed on her knees. And then for the TV audience and those who were standing there, they watched her crawl on her hands and knees to get to the finish line. And that's part of this idea of peace, is that there is a completeness, that you finish. There's nothing left unfinished, but you finish. See, for her, she ran this whole thing and she'd been practicing for so long, it was important for her to complete it, to get to the end of it. There's another way to think about it. If you think about doing a puzzle when you're missing a piece at the end, especially if you have OCD, this would probably drive you nuts, right? That there's one piece, I can't finish the puzzle. It's not complete. There's something missing here. And if this is a white puzzle on a picture here, but if you had a picture, it's like the picture is not complete. I can't see it all. There's something missing. And it's just not this good feeling at the end that you've done it and it's complete and you got the whole picture in front of you, and it just doesn't give you a settled feeling. And that's this idea of peace. It even ties into some of their laws, so that if you stole an animal from someone, you had to replace that animal to make them whole again. If you injured an animal of your neighbors, you had to give them a new animal in place of that, to replace it, to complete it, to make it whole, to fix what was missing in their life, or broken in their life, or something that was taken or stolen. So all those things help us to understand this. Now, if I were to take all of those bits and pieces and organize it back into the blessing, it would sound something like this. The Lord will kneel before you, presenting gifts, and will guard you with a hedge of protection. The Lord will illuminate the wholeness of his being toward you, bringing order, and he will give you comfort and sustenance. And the Lord will lift up his wholeness of being and look upon you, and he will set in place all that you need to be whole and complete. So that would kind of beef out a little bit the original to help us understand it a little better. So now, when I thought about that, I thought, well, the Lord is coming to Aaron to give this blessing. He wants to bless his people. And as I thought about it more and thought about it phrase by phrase, I thought, the Lord will kneel before you with presence. This idea of kneeling, again, is a humbling thing, right? To kneel in front of someone. And it reminded me that in Philippians 2, verse 6 and 7, it says, Jesus, who was by nature God, did not consider equality with God as a prize to be displayed, but he emptied himself by taking on the nature of a servant. He humbled himself. He came from heaven where he sat at the right hand of the Father, and he came down to earth and became a human. And he humbled himself. It's a humbling process. And then in Romans 8, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So the Lord kneels before us to present us with a gift. What a beautiful thing. When you think about the blessing of God projects forward to what he did with his son, Christ. The next phrase, and he will guard you with a hedge of protection. That Jesus is often referred to as the good shepherd, right? I told you before that they would make that thorn circle to make a protected area, and a shepherd would sleep in the doorway. This is one of the things that was in Jesus' mind when he says, I am the door. I am the good shepherd, and I am the door. He's saying, if there's a wild animal coming to get you, they got to come through me first because I am the door. I'm sleeping in the only opening that they can get in there, and I'm going to protect you. I'm there for you because I am that hedge of protection for you. We have so many stories of like when Jesus comes to the disciples when they're in the storm or when he's in the boat and he's sleeping and he wakes up and they said, Lord, do something, we're about to die. And he stands up and he says to the wind and the waves, peace be still. It's a visual picture of what Jesus does to us to be the hedge of protection for us. Then the next phrase, the Lord will illuminate the wholeness of his being toward you. Jesus says in John, in the book of John, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So the wholeness of God's being is illuminated to us in Christ. When we look at Christ, we see this illumination, this spotlight shined in darkness to help us to understand who God the Father is. The next phrase, and he will give you comfort and sustenance. John 16, Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. See, he came to be that hedge of protection and to give you this comfort and to provide for you what you needed. The next phrase, the Lord will lift up his wholeness of being and look upon you. Colossians chapter 1, 19 and 20. For the Lord was pleased, or for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, meaning Christ. So this is the wholeness, right? We talked about the wholeness of God's being, that nothing was left out. It's complete, the whole part of God. So God says, the fullness of his being dwells in Jesus and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And then the last phrase, he will set in place all that you need to be whole and complete. And again in John, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me he will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can have nothing. So he sets in place everything that we need to be whole and to be complete. So you see, when this blessing was given to Aaron and the priests 2,000 years before Christ, roughly, it was looking forward to what he was going to do in Christ. I think this is why this blessing carries from the Old Testament to today even, because it's about Christ and what Christ does in our lives to fulfill this blessing. What a neat thing that God desires to bless us. You know, when you look at many of the other religions of the world, the quote-unquote God with a small g that they worship always wants everything for themselves, wants the people to bless him or her or whatever, wants worship from them, wants all of this stuff, but never in return. This idea that God desires to make us complete and to give us peace, and he does it through Christ, is just a beautiful thing. There's another little tidbit. We didn't go past those first two verses, but if you go to Numbers chapter 6, verse 7, there's one more thing about this blessing. Right after the blessing, God explains why he's giving this blessing. And he says, so when Aaron gives this blessing, they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. So by giving this blessing, he's saying, the priest, will put my name on them. I thought, isn't that interesting that when the early church started to gather at Antioch, that they started to call themselves Christians, Christians, that Christ's name was on them, that the blessing that God had in mind from way back was that Christ would fulfill that blessing and that his name would be upon us. So this is the blessing that God wants to give to you guys, each and every one of you, that when you walk out of here, his name is on you, and that means all the stuff we talked about, this completeness, this fullness, this peace, this relationship, this hedge of protection, this God who cares for you. So when you leave and a pastor gives that blessing, you know that that's what's being given to you from God through him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, it's amazing to us that you desire to come down to kneel, to get right in front of us, to come to our level, and that you have the desire to speak into our life a blessing, that you want to give us peace, that you want to give us assurance and completeness and wholeness and to shine a light and to give us what we need to go forward with confidence and to have your name applied to us as your people. We thank you, Lord, for this. And we ask that as we go forward in our lives, that whenever we hear this again, that we won't just tune it out, but we will realize that there is a depth there, a meaning there that's gorgeous and deep, and that you intended to give to us. We thank you for this. Amen.